So Russ kind of felt like trying to understand the season we're in a little bit might help us to connect with the continuity of our faith that comes through the Old Testament into the New Testament. And though in Jesus there's a new covenant and it just fulfills the old covenant, still there's seasons and times. I grew up in my faith with people around me that, though they would not ever hold anybody to a calendar, esteemed the calendar as it is laid out in the Old Testament, because those dates of those feasts and those events that were enumerated in the Old Testament, they are going to be fulfilled in Jesus. Many of them have been fulfilled. He was the Passover lamb that fulfilled the Passover. He was the Spirit came on Pentecost and confirmed his marriage to his bride. And all of those were feasts that were Old Testament pictures, but now are New Testament fulfillments in the Spirit. And it's really interesting. We were talking about on Friday, our prayer meeting, we're focusing for the first time, really focusing on Israel and trying to understand praying for that nation, why we would even do it. And Nathan says, I'm not sure I understand, although he probably prayed the best prayers for that nation just out of his heart. There's so much to understand that we're connected with in the Old Testament that still has relevance in our life, and understanding would help us to understand what's going on right now, what's happening in this world. We know that everything that is happening in the world is really centered, even though it feels like it's all centered here in the United States, is actually centered in Israel. And because we've aligned ourselves with Israel, so much of that is for us. So much of that is spilling over to us, and we are being impacted by it. There's very few nations that are supporting Israel. And it's not to say that the Israeli people are, you know, the greatest people. They're just called. And we've been grafted in to this Jewish nation. We've been grafted in as children of Israel, which is really fascinating. Because we're the wild olive branch. We are olive branch. We're the wild olive branch grafted into the natural olive branch, which is Israel, which is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes, Israel, and now it's known as the Jewish people. And even though they don't believe, they have served humanity. They were chosen by Abraham. They have served humanity by, if nothing else, taking the scriptures word for word, jot and tittle, writing them down. Everything that we have in our book was given to us and mostly authored by Jewish people. There was really only one Gentile author in the whole book, and that was Luke. So anyways, this right now, we're in the middle of the season between Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year. It's the seventh month. They have a civil calendar and they have a religious calendar. So Rosh Hashanah is actually happened back, what was it? 29th? 29th. Rosh Hashanah. It's a new year. That is a day that the Lord, Jews up to this point, they even honor it as non-believing Jews. Jews understand that their life has been measured on that day. They pass under a rod. A shepherd would have a rod, and all of his sheep would go, they'd narrow this area down, and he'd have a rod, and he'd take his sheep, his force his sheep down this, and every sheep would be stopped by this rod, and then the shepherd would look at the sheep and see if it's healthy, if there's any issues with it, and if it was, then he would take it out and minister to it, or sometimes it may be beyond fixing. But every one of the sheep were looked at, were examined, and to be found out the condition that they were in. So there was a Jews believe that the Lord does the same thing once a year on Rosh Hashanah. He takes his people and he passes them under the rod. And then as they are measured, they have a sense of conviction. They have 10 days after they're measured. They understand that they have made some mistakes. So for 10 days, they call it a 10 days of awe, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is Day of Atonement. They have a time of a solemn time of introspection. So they're looking into their life and they're saying, what did I do? And they're actually making amends. They're going to people that they offended the last year. They're going to, they're focusing on making sure that all their relationships are good, and then they're getting right before God as a result of their sense of conviction, as the Lord would speak to them about that, would reveal it to them by the Spirit. And then on Yom Kippur was the day, the one day a year that the, does anybody know what Yom Kippur, what happened on Yom Kippur? Yeah, in the natural, in the Old Testament. The priest. So in the Tabernacle of David, the Ark of the Covenant would be in the Holy of Holies. That would be the place that, they had a Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant. Then how many understand, have ever studied the Tabernacle of Moses? Anybody ever? It's done a little bit? It's fascinating. It has relevance. It's really fascinating. Everything that the Lord did was fascinating. It actually speaks to us in this day. But the Tabernacle of Moses, the Tabernacle of David, which is another fascinating thing. All of this is just amazing. And then, of course, you have the Temple of Solomon. Okay, the Tabernacle of Moses, I'm not going to take all the time. Tabernacle of Moses was, there was a center tent, like structure that had a cover on it, and only one person, one time a year, could go into that tent. And that was the high priest. And that was on the Day of Atonement. And then there was outer covering where they had other things on the outside. And then, of course, they had outside, they had a laver, and they had the altar where they would sacrifice. And they carried the blood all the way through from the outside to the inside. The priest would have to. So one time a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, and the Lord would determine if his sacrifice is going to be accepted, if the nation that he had just judged and he had seen all of their shortcomings, if the priest would have made atonement, if the Lord would have accepted that atonement. And if he didn't accept it, then there would be potentially the priest could get killed when you go into the Holy of Holies without being prepared. Really interesting stuff. It never happened. It never happened in the Old Testament. It doesn't show any time when the high priest would go into the presence of the Lord and get killed. However, that was a part of what the expectation was when they went into the holy place. So we are now a few days. It's actually, I think, Wednesday. I think Wednesday through Thursday is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. So we're in this middle kind of 10-day season. So every day we should judge our hearts. We are not held to a calendar. It's not like we need to do this in these 10 days and we need to be, there is not that necessarily. But why not? It's a good time to kind of focus your attention and say, okay, I'm going to really, spend a little extra time ascertaining where my life is, what I've been doing, what's been going on in my life. Lord, let your blood come and wash me, cleanse me. And that's where communion would come in. So communion, Russ wanted to do it today. I thought it was a great idea. Actually, another thing, Day of Atonement was the only day prescribed in the Old Testament to fast. It's the only fast day in the whole Bible. There was no other time that the Lord, actually there's a lot of feasting that goes on in the Bible, but there's not a lot of fast. Day of Atonement was the only time that they fasted. So what Russ is doing right now is... it's probably maybe tied to that. I do believe that there's potential for, this season is crazy right now. You can see just everything that's going on swirling around in the world right now. It's just crazy stuff. You can see that there's in the spiritual atmosphere, there's agitation, there's all kinds of things against this body of Christ and against the nations of the world. There's all kinds of things going on, and I believe a lot of it's Most of it is initiated by the Lord. But this is the time to be sensitive and just ask the Lord to give you some insight. As you go under the rod, consider yourself as a sheep under his rod, and he's examining your life. What's he see? And then say, Lord, cleanse me of these things. Confess them. You know, sometimes we don't even consider ourselves and where we're at. We don't think that much about our life. Or if we do, we think about those things, and then we put ourselves under judgment and condemnation. That's not what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to recognize it, confess it, and then walk in righteousness and be cleansed from his cleansed, forgiven from all unrighteousness by his blood. So anyways, that's what the communion is. Not only is communion that, kind of a thinking, considering my life as I'm taking the blood, and I'm taking the body of Jesus. We are declaring his death until he returns. In the church, this was a powerful, necessary, what do you call them? Sacrament. Mm-hmm. They didn't consider a sacrament. It was just something that they did whenever they gathered. They would break bread. It was. They did it all the time because they loved Jesus and they just wanted to proclaim his death. They wanted to recognize what he did for them, humble themselves in his presence, and then receive identification with his body, become one with him, and then one with those who also are partaking of that. We are all together as one. We are underwashed by his same blood. We are all partakers of his body. We are all members of his body. So that's what we'll do today. So do you have the elements ready? Okay. So the blood, we don't take it unworthily. We want to take it with a sense of humility. And it's like I say, this is a good season and this is a good moment to actually consider where we are at with the Lord. I grew up with prophetic people that really received revelation during this time that the Lord was invited some prophetic people into experience, revelatory experiences during this season, only to say that because the Lord looks at this time differently. Though there's no religion or works involved in this, there is still a sensitivity to what the Lord's doing in our life right now. So Lord, I just thank you for your word, for your covenants. You are a covenant God. And as we talked about on Friday, Lord, we need to understand Israel. We need to understand the covenants. We need to understand your word. Would you lead us deeper into your word as a people? Would you train us up in your word? Would you feed us in your word to give us understanding? We could be fascinated by your word. Lord, would you raise up teachers? Would you raise up prophets who would reveal the pure revelation, the pure milk of your word, that we might grow with respect to salvation? I'm asking for understanding of these things in a way that would edify your people. So, Lord, I pray that you would do that, even in this season. And, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in all of our lives. I thank you we are here for you. The only reason we're in this room, we would have any other place in the world to go. We would choose any other place to go. We are here because of you. We are taking this time together because of you, and we want it to be effective. We don't want to just go through the motions, Lord. We want to be a people that connect with your heart right now in this season. We want to know you, and we want to know who we are in you, and we want to know who we are with one another. Lord, we want to connect with you and be affirmed in you and then be activated in you, be led by you, and have confidence in our lives before you. For this is the day that we need the confidence of your presence, of your purpose, of your covering, of your grace in our life. your mercy directed to us. We need to know you, Lord. So teach us in your word and open our hearts to understand who you are. Let us not be satisfied with what we've received so far. Let us not be satisfied with the superficial, but let us go deep into your heart, into your word, and understand these things that are so precious and beautiful. And we confess, as Gentiles, we're so ignorant of these things. And we want to know. We want to understand them. So teach us in the right way that we would be edified and blessed. Lord, let's take the body. Go to read it real quick. First Corinthians 15. I'm looking at my new Bible here. I'm trying to. So it is 1 Corinthians 15. Where is that? Oh, you're right. It's 11. What am I thinking? I'm thinking resurrection. Look, I said, man, that's good too. Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So we're taking of his body, understanding it was broken for us. And as we take his body, we understand we are parts of his body. Every one of us are parts, and we identify with his broken body and receive his healing. But we also connect with him, and we connect with one another as we take this bread. So Lord, we thank you for the giving of your body for us, and we take this and honor it as your body on earth, the body of Christ. We become members of one another, and we become members of you. In the same way, he took the cup, and after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So, Lord, we thank you for this cup, which represents your blood, the blood of a new covenant, the blood of forgiveness, the blood that heals, the blood that delivers, the blood that provides newness of life. So, Lord, we just check our hearts right now. We confess to you anything that is unconfessed. If we keep short accounts, then it's already there. It's already there where you know everything that we know. We ask you for understanding of our own lives. But we thank you for your blood right now, and we take it as a people who are so appreciative of it. We bless you for the shedding of your blood, for the forgiveness of our sins today. Amen. Lord, we proclaim your death until you come. Thank you, Lord. The sacrifice, the truth that sets us free, that identifies us with hope and expectancy, and the measurement of love that you have for us, which is beyond what we understand. You've given yourself for us. We proclaim that death for us until you return, and we have expectancy, excitement as that day draws near. We bless you, Lord. Amen.